Yes, indeed.
This is a production.
Yes, indeed.
Welcome, everybody, to Life Unfiltered. Heal that shit.
Yes,
we got
indeed.
A name, y'all. We got a name. This is the podcast where we fearlessly navigate the complexities of life, love, grief, and the extraordinary journey of healing. We are inviting you all to join us on this raw and unfiltered exploration as we share our personal stories, triumphs, challenges, and inspiration to uplift. Yo, we need to pause a moment and just appreciate the production.
Yes, indeed.
Listen, y'all, I told y'all we was going to start putting some respect on our names on our last, our inaugural episode when we was just kind of putting out there what we wanted to do. Your girl Bianca showed out, okay? Let me tell you something. This girl... she ain't nothing to play with, okay? She ain't nothing to play with, baby. She was like, let me elevate this and do what I do. So anyways, we are excited that you all are here. The world often encourages us to mask our struggles, and we are making the choice to lead with love and vulnerability because it's finally time to collectively address our own shit, y'all, and have some real conversations. So we are here to voice the things that you might not have verbalized or even thought about so we can get to the root of the shit and heal. So 2024 is the year of popping that shit. It's time out for being fake humble, okay? So we're going to run down who we are and what we do. So my name is Kimberlyn. I'm an educational advocate, activist, and consultant. I specialize in school improvement, trauma-informed practices, social-emotional competencies. I'm a visionary and motivational speaker. I'm a virtual producer and network executive. I'm a professional frolicker. I'm an intuitive melanated life coach. I help people deepen their relationship with God and tap into their purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm also an expat. I am currently living in Mexico City, Mexico. And tonight, I'm one of your hosts here on Life Unfiltered. Heal that shit.
Yes, indeed. My name is Bianca, and I am a digital strategist, an activist, and a consultant. I'm also a newly private investigator, baby, a receipt collector. So put some respect on that, okay?
Come on.
I am the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we educate, we advocate, we coach, and heal. And a digital nomad currently working, traveling, wherever there's Wi-Fi, and empowering others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment.
Yes, honey. So y'all go ahead, start introducing yourselves in the comments. Let us know where you are joining us from. We are international, so people might be coming from anywhere and any space and any place. Okay. So definitely go ahead. Let us know who is here with us. And again, where you are joining us from. This is going to be interactive, y'all. So go ahead on and get your fingers stretched out. All right, because we not here to talk at you, all right? We talking with you, and I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. But before we get into that, Bianca, you want to tell them about our three keys so we can make sure we lay the foundation for the folks?
Absolutely. This is a safe space here, and we operate by three keys, okay? That is transparency, integrity, and accountability. Period, poo. These are the three keys. So we hold ourselves accountable to that, and we're going to hold y'all accountable to that in this space because this is a safe space to have real conversations.
Absolutely. We also want to give you the heads up that we speak freely here, okay? But that does not include any type of hate speech or comments that are derogatory. We absolutely believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry, okay? So just make sure that you are bringing that safety into the space. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we need y'all to engage with us. This is a journey that we are taking with you all. This is not us sitting up high and looking low and being like, we got everything all figured out. We ain't hardly got nothing figured out, child. That's why we was like, talk to people. Because, girl, what is we about to do? Okay. So this is a journey where we're facilitating a conversation, but we are not the experts in this conversation, right? And we really want you to participate in this healing journey with us and bring people with you. I'm certain that if we commit to doing the work together, that we all will heal. All right. So want to lay that down again. I see some of y'all watching. Y'all ain't introduced yourselves yet in the comments. Introduce yourself in the comments. Let us know where you are watching us from. All right. Because we want to make sure that we know who is here in this community. This is a community that we are building, and we need y'all to be talking to each other, networking, okay, out there and such. So drop your info. All right. So having said that, we do have some quick updates. We're going to let y'all know how some decisions that we have clearly made since we were last here together. So as y'all see, we have a name, right? Life Unfiltered, that captures what we want this to be. Just absolutely raw, unfiltered, us talking about what this is. We're going to be here every 2 weeks, all right? So you can go ahead on and put that on your calendars, all right? So every 2 weeks, we will be here. We created some segments that we're going to go through tonight. And we're also going to be creating a Patreon for behind the scenes content, because it's a show. I'm just...
It's the pre-show, though. That's the, like, so I just want to just say that for the people who join the Patreon, that you will get to see Kimberlyn act up right before the show. It is a treat. It is a hoot. You have to be there, because I just be sitting there like...
I just be having a soundtrack. Like, you got to get in the zone. You know what I'm saying? So I just be, today the soundtrack was, don't be mad because I'm doing me better than you doing you. Don't be mad because I'm doing me better than you doing you. Don't be mad because I'm doing me better than you doing you. Better than you doing you. Okay? So that was the soundtrack for today. I'm saying, I know y'all feel that. Let me know if you feel it in the comments. Go ahead and drop some fire emojis or something down up in there. So that's what you'll get in the Patreon. You'll get that behind the scenes content. You'll also get a private community where we will have deeper conversations. We can chat there and all of that. So more details coming about that. Also, we have made some decisions about emojis, right? So emojis are, not that y'all don't know what emojis are, but emojis are important for representation, right? So like, it's a way for y'all to communicate with us about some things, right? So I'm not going to go into the lesson about why we chose these particular emojis. I'm just going to show you what the emojis are. All right. So we're talking about healing. So one of our emojis is the red heart with the band-aids around it, because we're healing this heart and bringing it back together. And then we have the green, blue, and purple emojis. So those emojis are actually directed towards chakras. And again, I'm not going to go into the deeper lesson of this, but I'm just going to let you know that the areas that we are focusing on and the things that you're going to be hearing us talk about really have to do with the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown chakra. So really like illuminating ourselves, but leading from the heart. Okay. So we'll tell y'all what to do with those emojis. But right now, go ahead and just drop one into the comments wherever your spirit is feeling led. Just put it into the comments for us. And we appreciate y'all for that. So, all right. So we made that decision that we have some new emojis. Oh, and let me tell you this. That the lime green stands, green is healing properties, and green stands for liveliness, imagination, and vitality. Blue stands for serenity, stability, inspiration, wisdom, freedom, intuition, truth, and confidence. And purple stands for creativity, power, ambition, peace, and wisdom. Okay. So I see Tyree dropping her blue hearts into the comments. So thank you, girl, for that. So directing energy towards all of that for you. So those are our emojis, and we'll be using those as we are hanging out here. And again, we may direct you at times to do that. Now, one of the things that we want to make sure that we do is check spirit. Because we come in all different types of mindsets when we come into these types of spaces. And I think it's really important for us to set the tone and just really appreciate the energy that is here in this space. It's not to judge the energy. It's really just to be like, okay, this is what we're working with today. So I am putting this graphic here on the screen for you. And I want to explain to you how it works. This is called the feelings wheel. Okay, so inside the feelings wheel, you see that there are some emotions. So happy, surprised, bad, fearful, angry, disgusted, and sad. These big emotions are usually the easiest emotions for us to identify when we're talking about how we feel. As you move out to the next ring around that, so let's say I'm feeling happy right now, but my happy is actually kind of playful and peaceful, right? So if I go over to playful, there are two more specific words like aroused and cheeky. If I go over to peaceful, loving or thankful. So the words that I would use for today might be I feel thankful, I feel cheeky, and I also feel creative, even though I didn't originally identify that. So I'm gonna give y'all a chance to look, and I'm gonna put it full screen again. And what I would like for you to do is to choose some words that describe how your spirit is feeling today. All right. So choose some words that describe how your spirit is feeling today. And I'm gonna leave it up here for a couple moments. They like, girl, I didn't know we was going to have to like interact for real, for real. So choose a few words again that describe how your spirit is feeling today. And we're looking for those in the comments. All right. So put your words in the comments. Bianca says she's feeling creative and loving. So put your words into the comments. And I'm going to also go with creative and thankful. All right, we have distance, curious, and surprise. Inspired, sorry, read, girl. Distant, curious, and inspired. Thank you, Tabri. Again, anybody else, I'll leave it up here for just a couple more moments. Choose how your spirit is feeling today. Bianca, do you want to add anything to how you might be showing up today? You don't have to.
Yeah, so I feel very creative today. I
that was a shame.
I'm glad you specified it because lately you've been real petty, and we'll talk about that offline.
Bianca, we're not focused, Bianca, on the questions.
But I feel very loving, just overall, just joy. Happiness, despite all the things that might be happening, I am intentionally choosing to be in a spot where I am loved and surrounded by love and doing things that make me feel creative and doing those creative tasks that bring me joy. So that's how I'm feeling.
I love that. And I'm going to expand just on the thankfulness. I have, and I'll get into this more in a moment in our transparency moment, but God's been sending me emails. Let me just say that. And I'll get into the rest of that in a moment. So having said that, our first segment is called Transparency Moment. And during this segment, we share things that have been going on with us over the since the last time that we have seen you all, the last time that we've been here, or things that we just want to amplify that we think would resonate with people, right? So I want you to start because you know why. Can I tell you why?
You could tell them.
So Bianca just had a birthday. Wait, where the air horns? We ain't got.
I'm sorry, I didn't have it queued up. My bad. Oh, my bad. Here we go.
Okay. Wait. Let's take two. Take two. Wait. Okay. Take two. So Bianca just had a birthday.
Yes, indeed.
So tell the people, birthday recap.
Oh my gosh. So my birthday weekend was absolutely phenomenal. Just being surrounded by so much love is really gets me emotional. Like I'm getting emotional sharing this because I have been through a lot in 2023 and questioning if people actually really love me. And being surrounded by so much love for my birthday was really refreshing, really rejuvenating. I mean, it was to the point where I had a bath ran for me with flowers in a tub and getting my nails done and getting a massage and just like self-care. I mean, just everything. Favorite meals being cooked and prepared and being able to see new things and travel. Like I feel very blessed. Yeah. So I appreciate all the people in my Facebook community and my other social media communities that sent their happy birthday wishes. I appreciate you and thank you and love you. I felt the love for my birthday. And I just want to continue to uplift that this year, 34, is very personal for me. Just surviving what I've survived and going through what I went through. I'm seeing things in a whole different way now. Mm-hmm. And with that, I just want everyone to understand that we got to love on one another out here and really have a village because it is wild out here in these streets if you don't have it. So this is why we're here. This is why this safe space is here. You are a part of our village. And I'm just want to keep uplifting that while I'm in this space, in this room with y'all, whether you're watching this live or you're watching a replay of this. We are a village. We are a family. So welcome in. We're going to love on you just like y'all provided love to me. I'm very grateful.
Aww. Hello,
yes, indeed. I also want to share that the dress that I had on for my birthday dinner was a size 12, baby. It was a size 12. And I just want to let y'all know that this weight loss journey has been something that I have been doing and battling and working on for quite some time. And to be able to fit a size 12 dress, baby, you cannot tell me nothing. Okay. With that being said, I definitely want to uplift the people that are on this journey of getting your health and your wellness together, that I am going to support and root for you as you go on your journey with this, because I have a goal to meet and I will be very transparent about what that goal is. I am trying to get to 225 pounds. Now, the last episode, I shared that I was over 326 pounds. Okay, y'all. So this will be a full 100 down. And this is what I'm working towards. This is what I want to do and want to have a big celebration of losing these 100 pounds without having weight loss surgery, without having certain things done to my body in order for me to do it. So I am very thankful for those people that are on this weight loss journey with me, that are on this journey for their health and wellness. We can do it. I'm rooting for you because we got goals to meet, baby. So I am definitely excited about that. And the last update that I wanted to do for this segment for a transparency moment is just the shifts in my business and life. So I've really been thinking about this, Kimberlyn, and to the people that are watching about what does business look like for me now? Mm-hmm. What exactly do I want to do? What type of clients do I want to serve? How do I want to show up now as I am rediscovering and figuring out what works best for me, what works best for my time? Because my doctors have been very adamant in telling me that the way that I've worked historically
is not sustainable.
Is not sustainable.
I know it. I had the same conversation, Jesus.
So when we're talking about literal life or death, when we're talking about my heart, when we're talking about my pacemaker, when we're talking about all of those things that are happening to my body, I really have to be intentional with my stress and my work. And yeah. So I am really, really in that stage of this time thinking about what does that look like. And so I'm glad that we're going to uplift today about the vision boards and that vision setting that we'll be doing, because that's exactly what I have been doing in order to figure out what this looks like for me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I know, I'm going to communicate and let y'all know what exactly I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and give y'all the behind the scenes of what's happening, because I love being creative, but also I love me more and I love my heart. So I need to keep it where it needs to be.
Yeah, facts on that, real talk. New Year's Eve was rough for me. When I say rough, I mean crying out to God, like, you gonna have to do something. New Year's Eve for me is a really special day because I feel like the energy that you choose to be around on New Year's Eve, like, kind of sets a precedent for the year forward. And I spent New Year's Eve completely alone. I'm talking completely alone. And I was just like, God, what are you trying to say? Like, what is happening here? I need guidance. I need breakthrough. I need something to happen immediately. Like, this is not funny anymore. Like, you're gonna have to do something. And I don't know what time I wound up going to sleep. It might have been like 5 a.m. Like, I really was struggling. Like, it was hard. It was a struggle to just stop crying. Like, it was a lot. Then I started getting some emails. And I have talked about before, like, God sends me emails, and I pray specifically for God to send me emails because I be tripping and sometimes I don't be listening. So, like, I need direct instructions. So I need it, like, mapped out and such. And what happened, like, during the time from July 25th through basically now, I haven't been working. Like, all of my contracts disappeared, like, everything. Like, everything just went away into oblivion. Like, just poof. Done. Like, she just not gonna have no money. And it was so wild because when God started sending me these emails, basically what happened is one of my schools that I have been waiting to connect with since October reached out to me, and they were like, hey, we need you to do some PD for us and we needed stat. So, like, when can we meet? That happened. I got another contract with another company to do a training. God just started to, like, send these things, right? Then, how do I, like, I'm not going to get into this too deep right now, but I'm just going to say that my relationship with my mother is very strained. I do believe that she is a narcissist, though there has not been an official diagnosis. And that weighs on me a lot about how I show up in the world and how I even developed into the person that I am today, because this is not the person that I was raised to be, like, at all. So it really, like, I struggle with it a lot. And I started, I don't know if you all have run across Dr. Romani. Let me know in the comments if you have. But I first ran across her on the Red Table Talk, actually, with Jada Willow and her mom, Adrienne. And Dr. Romani specializes in narcissists and helping people recover from relationships with narcissists. And I started watching this video, and it was talking about what happens when the truth teller grows up. And I was like, ooh, Jesus, that is my life. Like, the way the narratives that are created and the way that people treat truth tellers. I don't know if y'all saw the Cat Williams. You know, he had did this little interview, and I don't know if y'all heard about it. And I don't believe that everything that he said was true. But what I have been paying attention to, y'all, I'm recording. The people outside loud. Like, they, it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm in Mexico City, y'all. It's a lot. Sorry. I'm recording right now. But the way that people are willing to dismiss truth tellers and make truth tellers seem to be crazy is something that has happened to me. And I know it's something that's happened to you. And it just really, like, reminded me of the mission and, like, remembering that this is an assignment, if you will. Like, this is an assignment. This is something that's supposed to happen as far as how I'm being treated so that I don't take that personally. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, that was very interesting, and it sent me down like this rabbit hole of thinking about what it means to really embrace the truth and what it means to stand on the truth. I think a lot of people abuse when people say stuff like speak truth to power, which basically means that I'm going to tell the truth even if my voice shakes, is basically what that means. And sometimes people like abuse that, but it's like a real mantle to be someone who is committed to telling and exposing the truth and standing on the truth. And I realized that I've been that person since a very young age. It was interesting.
You know, when you talked about the Cat Williams interview and the conversations that were happening, I did see the common theme of where there were people that were trying to discredit some of nitpicking some of the things that he said. So there was one comment where he said he read 3,000 books. And so they were nitpicking about, you know, the validity of that or how fast he ran. But it's just really sad to see how when people are telling their story, how people can try to twist it and try to create narratives based on someone's truth and their experience. Mm-hmm. And going back to how you were sharing about making you feel crazy when people are trying to change the narrative. We dealt with that all 2020 election.
We was just
providing information for people who are interested in school board candidates, because that is very important. In 2024, we're here, baby. People are running for school board, and that's important too. And so when we go out here telling the truth, you're going to see there's going to be some people that will spin it, twist it, say all kinds of things, call us everything but a child of God while we're out here telling the truth about what is happening and what's in black and white.
Facts. That's what I was just waiting to get to that point, because I was like, but that's why we're so intentional about having receipts, because that, like, people can say a lot of things, but the documentation is what really, you know, credits whether you're telling the truth or not. And that's something that brought us together, baby, because listen, I be like, if I don't have documentation, I'm not really speaking on that too much. I need to understand like what's going on, what's happened, blah, 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 what have you. But a lot of people, one of the things that I realized in life is everybody is not intentional with their words. Some people are real reckless with their words and they just use words very lightly. And there was a girl I was friends with and she was like, you need to understand that everybody don't treat words like you do. She was like, some people just be saying shit just because they want to say shit. Like, so she was like, you are very intentional about the words that you use and you choose your words carefully. She's like, everybody don't do that. So it's something for me that I have to constantly remember because some people just be saying shit and don't have any type of evidence to back it up. Tabree said, I'll never understand why people rush to invalidate people and their experiences simply because they don't understand them. And that is something that we people, humanity, got bad. Bad. Like, because if you think about like how many victims come out and say different than, well, why they waited to not? Why you just not saying? Because I am. Because I'm saying something today. That's why. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like in the type of, especially when people are talking about things that have been traumatic or whatever, it's like, you don't know how much that person had to go through to get to the point to be able to tell their story. That's why they're telling it now. Because now I'm telling it. That's why. You know, but like the society is looking for holes in the story and looking to invalidate and looking to make it seem like, again, like you're crazy. And we put that slap, that label on people like it ain't nothing, you know, just like, oh, you know, they just talking or whatever. But what I have realized is I have to be okay with some of that because we can't chase down every lie. You know what I mean? And it's like, that I think was difficult for me to realize because I am somebody who is very much like this happened or this didn't happen or, you know, whatever. It's like I had to become okay with the fact that some people just lie. Cat Williams say, I don't know why liars lie, but that's what they do. They lie. And some people just lie. You know what I mean? So it's like, I kind of have to be okay with that without feeling like I have to chase down the lies because it really sends me into a tizzy. Like it can become a lie. You know what I mean? When you talk about 2020 and everything that happened to us in 2020, that was a wild time. Like it was wild. And it was because people didn't want the truth to be told. So, I'll drop the link to that video. Again, it's called What Happens When Truth Tellers Grow Up or something like that. I'll put the link into the chat. But it just really got me to thinking about my life and what my life has been like and what it means to walk this path even of healing because in the healing process, a lot of that is telling the truth about what happened and what your lived experiences were. Mm-hmm. Girl, how about this? I didn't even tell you this earlier. Today, girl, my therapist, I love my therapist. I'm not going to tell her name because she's booked and busy, okay? But she don't need no more clients. No, I done made that executive decision for her. She don't need no more clients, okay? But my therapist specializes in trauma and she very much is like holistic. Like she believes in holistic healing and plant medicine and healing trauma and somatic wellness and like all of these things that are not about, let me just throw you on some medication, about really getting to the root of the shit so you can heal the shit. How about today she had me channel my grandmother, girl.
How was that experience?
It was wild. Like, so what I was telling her is that I believe that my grandmother has been trying to communicate with me. My grandmother died in 2017. And it was three girls, like three of us oldest, the oldest grandchildren. We kind of grew up like sisters and like we were the first ones, right? So anyway, one of my cousins, my younger cousin, me and my older cousin were always like, she was my grandmother's favorite. And it was because my grandmother paid her a lot of attention when we were growing up. Now as adults, I'm realizing my cousin was what we would call the squeaky wheel. So she's the one that was making the noise like, hey, this shit ain't right. While my other cousin and I were just trying to do to like get through. Like we were just like, I was trying to get to college. Like we just trying to get out the house. Whereas my younger cousin was like, this ain't how this supposed to go. So my grandmother paid her a lot of attention, right? But it left us feeling like we were, feeling like we were neglected. That was our perception. Like she just didn't care about us as much. And I had talked to my older cousin through this process of me trying to heal. And I was telling her, I was like, I think we called my grandmother Nanny. I was like, I think Nanny is trying to communicate with me. And she was like, she said, yeah, she's come to see me as well. And she was like, take what you need and, you know, talk to her, like, take what you need. And I was like, okay. And I just kind of was like, okay, I don't know. How about I had went out on a date on Christmas, right? I don't remember if I told you this. I had went out and here I am in Mexico City, walking down the street. And we walked past a sushi restaurant. And at the sushi restaurant, they were playing a song that my grandma used to play in her house. All the time. Wow. Yes. And the song, I'm going to sing it for y'all. The song. Now, you know you ain't right. You know.
Yeah.
I can't stand you. But listen, this is the song. It goes, miss you, miss you, miss you, miss you, miss you. That's the song, right? It's an old song. No insult to anybody over here that was from your time. I'm not trying to call people old, but it is. So the song was playing in Mexico City at a random sushi restaurant on Christmas Day that I just so happened to say that I would go out and get coffee with somebody. So when I was walking, like, I was like, un momento, por favor. This is odd. So I recorded it because I was like, this is so crazy. So anyway, I was telling my therapist about it today. And my therapist goes, she said, well, have you talked to her, like, intentionally? And I was like, nah, not really, like, no. And she was like, well, let's talk to her right now. I said, okay, girl, you just diving right in, huh? You just jump in the deep end. Like, okay, girl. So she said, I want you to pick an object that is going to represent your grandmother. And she was like, and then I'm going to talk to her. So basically, so I have the sound bowl. So I use, you know, my sound bowl.
I sure do.
So I had used, I put it all the way over there. I can't reach it. But I had used my sound bowl and I did the chime or whatever. And then she started talking to me. She was like, what is your name? And I said, my girl was the same. And she started talking to me and like, not an interview, but like question and answer. And she was asking me stuff like, what do you want? You know, Kimberlyn's really been struggling and, you know, she's trying to go on this healing journey. And like, what do you want her to know? And it is so crazy, Bianca, because it was me, but also it wasn't me. Mm. Like, it was so wild, but it felt right. Like, it felt like I could feel her spirit. It felt like I felt comforted. Like, I was like, I feel comforted. And what I remember at the end of it all, she said, if you could leave Kimberlyn with one sentence, what would you say to her? And she said, I'm here with you. You're not alone.
Mm.
Girl, when I tell you, I was like, well, wow.
Yes, indeed.
This is why it was a really, really interesting experience.
I'm glad you had that experience.
Yeah. And you know what she told me? She said, she was like, do you know that this healing work, she was like, this is how powerful this healing work is. She said, for every choice that you make to heal, you heal three generations forward, but you also heal seven generations back.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
I was like, what? So she said, she was like, even if, because I mentioned I don't communicate with my mother. She was like, the healing that you're going to do is going to heal your mother's spirit. And she doesn't even realize the work that you're doing is going to heal her. She was like, she not going to even be able to fight the energy. She was like, even if she want to keep doing stupid fuck shit, she was like, it doesn't matter. She is not going to be able. Thank you. My dad is here. She was like, she's not going to be able to fight that healing because you are channeling that healing for your ancestors and for those that are coming behind you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is serious.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So it was interesting. It was interesting. And I actually enjoyed it. You know, I love to role play already, right? So at first I was thinking about it like a role play. I was like, oh, girl, we getting into character. You know, like I was like, I was like, bet, because I'm an actress, right? I got this, right? At some point, it wasn't me. Like, it was so wild. It was so wild. And that's like, it was like an indication of why we decided to do this. You know, mm-hmm. It's like these conversations that we're having are so much bigger than just you and I. And that's what, I'm not going to give it all away, but one of the other things that my grandmother has said when she was talking about this, I don't even know how you say that without that sounding confusing, but I'm writing a book. And my therapist asked me, what does she want me to know about taking on this project? And she was like, that I have always been the one who was willing to say it. So she was like, you've always been the one, Kim has always been the one who was willing to say it. And through these girls, it's 11-11. Look at the top of your screen. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
There were 11 people in here and we had 11 reactions. So numbers is one of the ways that God sends messages. So I want to actually look this up in real time right now because that was for a reason. So I kind of know this by heart, but I don't want to misquote it because I look it up so often. So 11-11, hold on. 11-11 is a signal that you're on the right path. Continue moving in the direction that you're going. Trust that direction. And 11-11 is the number of manifestation. Yeah. So anyway, so what she had said was that we have a story to tell. She was like, me and my cousins have a story to tell. And she wants us to understand that we're not just going to heal our family. We're going to heal families across the world. And I was like, shit, that is serious business. So yeah, it was a very interesting experience. I don't know what that's called. Y'all could tell me in the comments if y'all know what that's called when you channel an ancestor or what have you, but it was powerful.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know who all is here. But one of the things, I introduced this concept to Bianca. When did we start talking about brain people? Was it like last year?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, because I would say I probably didn't meet him until like 2023. Okay, so this is one of those things where I'd be like, how do I explain this? Okay, so brain people, right? And the reason why we're bringing this up is because this is a way that we communicate with each other. And this is the way that Bianca and I communicate with each other. This is the way that I communicate with people that are in my world. And once I give this to you all, I want y'all to like use this as well. And I'm gonna write a book about this one day. So I'm also saying that out loud in case anybody get any ideas. So brain people are basically pretend that your brain is a corporation. All right. And if you were at a corporation, then there would be workers, right? Then there would be managers and like department heads or division leads, VPs, like all of that, right? So imagine that your brain is a corporation, all right? And inside your brain, that your corporation is organized in different ways. So basically, I'm going to explain my brain space and my brain people. Well, no, let me not do that first because I want you to explain it first. So your brain is like a corporation. We have people that are working in your brain that make different decisions, right? So people that are in, for instance, the memory section, right? If you have trouble remembering things, you might need to hire some people over there in the memory department because they're not doing too hot. Or in your creativity department, right? Sometimes your creativity department might be rocking and rolling, and then other times your creativity department might be like, ain't nobody at work. You know, so there are all these different departments that we have within our brains, if you will, and people that work in those different departments. All right. Now, having said that, that's just kind of the basics of it. I would like for you to explain your brain space and your brain people as of today, January 10th, and what that's looking like. And then if I have questions, I'm going to ask you, but then I'm going to also explain mine. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so today, this is how my brain space is structured. Okay. So I do have a creativity department. This is the one that is responsible for all the creative ideas that come, and they are managed. They communicate with each other. I have another department that is logistics, of handling day-to-day operations, of making sure that I eat and that I go to the bed, like just the keep me going day to day. And there's some people in the logistics department that don't really properly communicate. So I might miss a meal or two and then have to be like, oh, I didn't eat. And then it's the thing. There's another department that I have that is memory. Now, the memory department is something that I am struggling with. There are things that is very difficult for me to recall. So visualize, if those people that watch SpongeBob, I am a huge SpongeBob fan. But there is an episode where SpongeBob is literally in the brain running around managing logistics. I want you to visualize that, because that's literally how I see how my brain operates. There are some times where there's people twerking on the wall, meaning that they're unproductive. They are not productive at all. They are not doing what they're supposed to do. I do have this one inner critic gremlin. And this is the person that is the negative self-talk that I'm working to remove. And so for them not to infiltrate other spaces and other people. And I just try to manage all of this. They all try to manage each other. I have explained brain people in different ways. This is like the first time that I've explained it in this way, but it is quite intriguing to talk to people about my brain in a way of an office setting, because it is so complex, because there's so many things that are happening. And I do want to uplift when we talked about the last episode, when we were talking about brain research and how important it is so vital that we know how our brain works because it controls everything. And we have to be very intentional about how our brain works and how we function. So therefore, we can be our best selves as we're navigating this life that we're navigating.
So when you said logistics, I was like, I think I need to have a job there. Because my logistics department don't be logisticking. I was like, maybe that's the issue. Maybe there's nobody in there. That is why we are struggling. I'm talking sleep, eating, like what we call executive functioning, like struggle, buzz. I need to have a job fair.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Do you know how many people work at your brain organization, or like how many, people work at your brain organization?
No, we need to do a whole productivity audit analysis and really go through these books, because this year, in the way that I want to move, it can't be like 2023. So I don't have an answer to that.
Okay. So I'm wondering a lot of things. So right now, let me explain to y'all what's happening in my brain right now, right? So my brain is usually controlled chaos, okay? I want you to think Wall Street, okay? Think Wall Street. If you all have seen any of the videos where the traders are trading and their papers flying in the air everywhere, shit is just all over the fucking place, right? And there's a bells and ringing and shit, like that's my brain. It's a lot. So just now when I was like, I'm wondering a lot of things, there were like five people in line trying to like give their idea. Me, wonder this, say this. And I be having, listen, there are times we've been on and I'll be like, hey, I need everybody to sit down. It's going to be some order up in here.
It's going to be some order in this house. Listen, she was fussing the other day, y'all. I can't wait till this Patreon come up, because I'm telling y'all, have to see some of the stuff Kimberlyn be doing, bro. It is wild.
It's going to be some order up in this brain. I need y'all to understand that, right? So I definitely think I need to do a job for the logistics department. The reason I had asked you if you know how many people work there is because I don't know how many people work in my brain. I know that I only communicate with like department heads, or I'm not going to call them department heads, the VPs of these different departments, right? My favorite person in my brain is actually my memory guy. When my memory guy is at work, that boy, he be on it. You hear me? When he is at work, baby, I be going down rabbit holes and I be coming right back, baby. It be lit. And when he not at work, he's not there. And whoever the other guy is that works the other shift, the temp guy. When I tell you I done called so many meetings and be like, that guy is not effective. I need somebody else. Cause that guy, I will sit here and I'd be like, nothing. There is nothing. Have y'all ever tried to remember something and nothing? Nothing. Like
just crickets.
Silence. Tumbleweed just rolling down the hallway. So ain't nobody at work today? Nobody? Huh? But this is the other thing. So I'm interested in what your hours of operation are, because my hours of operation in my brain do not start until I think they kind of start rolling in the office about 11 a.m. But they're not really ready until about 1 p.m. Then we ready to get the party popping. But before that, unless there's been a memo that comes out like, hey, we're going to need to be at work early tomorrow, flex hours. Okay. And when I say they be cashing in them flex hours, baby, if we start work before 11, they is gone by 4. You hear me? Out of there. Ain't nobody in the office. I ain't good for nothing after that if I start my day early. But anyway, so my people don't really start getting productive to about 1 p.m. What are your hours of operation at your brain organization?
So my brain people, we start kicking at about 10. Sometimes it's earlier than that if I work out. So I have noticed that if I have physical activity in the morning, that it jumpstarts my day and that I can be more productive throughout the day if I have a workout. If I don't work out, then it is delayed and me being able to work and to grind out and to do what I need to do. So I'll say, just to keep it simple, it's about a 10 o'clock shift. Then there's a lunch break between 12 and 2, a 2-hour lunch break, not a 1. I don't know. Talk to them about that. And then we don't get done until about 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, I shut down.
Had a good old power surge over here. So I'm booting my computer back up.
Oh no.
Yeah. We had a good old power surge, baby. That thing was like,
oh no. Let me see if she connects back on. I'm gonna give it a moment. Because we have some technical difficulties. Let's see.
I'm back. I'm not going to press no more buttons until my computer come back on. Did you tell the people about your hours of operation already?
Yes. Yeah, so 10 to 6.
What is it?
10 to 5, I'm sorry. 10 to 5.
10 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With a 2-hour lunch break.
A 2-hour lunch break. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. Why 2 hours?
So by the time that I actually eat and then processing the food, I think it just takes them another hour to kind of kickstart and get back focused.
That makes sense. That makes all the sense in the world. Lord, y'all, let me log back into my computer. Stop playing these games with me. So yeah, we wanted to bring this up though because really interested in what y'all's brain people are like. And like I said, it's a concept where it helps us to communicate more. And back to your point about brain research too, it's like we don't spend enough time learning our brains and really understanding how our brains function. So we do spend a lot of time beating ourselves up because we're thinking that our brain, I don't even know if we're thinking about our brain. Like, I just feel like we just be saying just the self-critic that you was talking about, the gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I had asked you to watch what you call them. I'm about to close this. This is being stupid. I had asked you to watch a podcast with Amanda Seales and Kirk Franklin.
I don't know if any of y'all follow Amanda Seals. She is a social media influencer, activist, actress. She was on Insecure. She's also a comedian. Like, she's been in the industry for a long time. And she has a podcast called Small Doses. And she interviews different people. She's had all kinds of people on there. But she just recently did this episode with Kirk Franklin, and it was about small doses of faith. I want to know what your thoughts were from watching it, because there's been a lot of faith type things that have been coming up. For instance, I don't know if y'all saw William Murphy, his church was under fire because they were swag surfing in the church. And then I saw extra videos that they was doing, Before I Let Go. They was playing Before I Let Go with Beyonce. So people were dancing. They did Swag Surf, and they did another song that I can't remember. But it's a lot of, like, churchy controversy. Now, what I know is that all of this is about to be controversial, and people might feel some type of way. But I'm interested in what you thought as you were watching the podcast, or anything else that might be coming to your brain. And I'm gonna try to get my computer to get its life together while you talk.
Yeah, to Ashley's comment, they was walking it out too. That's what it was, walking out.
Yes, yes. I was like, I don't remember what the other one was.
Yes, indeed. But to that, it was so many people in that church, and it was great to see people gathering together. And that is the whole point of church being a safe space. The points of the podcast that I really enjoyed. I enjoyed when they had the discussion about church being like a hospital to get the healing that you need, and having the ability to where if you need to go to one hospital, you should be able to go to another hospital and get that same type of treatment, care, and all of that across the board. And we don't see that in our faith-based religions, particularly in the Black church. That is what I've grown up in. I am a preacher's kid, so I'm just speaking from experience and just speaking my truth, that as a child of a preacher, I have seen a lot of things that I wish I could unsee. One of the other takeaways that I got from it was you can't prescribe what you can't admit. And so in the church, we have this, I call it hush, hush, quiet, quiet mentality, where we don't want to speak the truth, and we don't want to really be open and vulnerable. That is seen as a weakness. And so we can't really do the healing if we're not going to really speak about it. So we have to reveal before you can heal. That was one of the quotes that was stated in the podcast that I just had to write down, because I was like, that is absolutely right. You have to reveal before you can heal. And the history lesson that was provided in the podcast episode really got me, because I wasn't really up to date with the historical knowledge of Christianity, and particularly the Western Christianity. But one of the quotes that I wrote down was that Western Christianity and the teachings of Jesus Christ are not necessarily synonymous. Right. And so that deconstruction is definitely necessary, so that we have a clear understanding that this religion also was used to harm other people. And because this religion has been used to harm other people, we do need to have a conversation on how can we reduce the harm in these faith-based institutions. Whatever you believe in, that is what you believe in. Just don't harm other people in that process and in that belief.
That is a lot. And I like, so those parts definitely resonated with me too. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start. I think I'm going to start at what you said as far as this version of Christianity that we received is not necessarily in line with the teachings of Jesus. So my background is in, I have been in church and in Christian school since I was 2 years old. So I actually started out in Lutheran school, and then I went to Catholic school. And then we went to Lutheran church, and then we were in Full Gospel Baptist. And then I kind of went non-denominational as I grew older. To your point about seeing things, because I am who I am, I always wind up in these positions of leadership. So a lot of people find it funny when I tell them I actually used to teach Sunday school. I actually taught Sunday school. I taught the young adult Sunday school class, and I taught Sunday school teachers. I was on the praise team. I was in the choir. I used to be over the, I forget what they call it, but it was like the usher ministry at one of my churches. And what that allowed me to see was the humanity of people that are working in ministry. And I think prior to that, I did not. There's this culture, let me just say this, there's this culture in, I don't like this word, American, but I'm going to use it just because it makes it easier. There's this culture in American Christianity that tells us not to ask questions, that tells us to follow blindly what the leader says, and puts us in a position where we feel like we can't trust our communication with God, and that we have to go through a pastor, a preacher, a deacon, an elder, a reverend, somebody else to be able to get to God. And what I find so interesting about that is when we go back to how Christianity came to America, that it was a weapon that was used in order to keep slaves in a place of obedience. So they told us, our ancestors, that in order to be a good slave, you had to blindly obey your master. Is it better?
It's I don't know if you need to unplug. What it is, it's just very staticky. We can hear you, but it's just not the same quality as it was before you.
Is that better now?
Mm-mm.
Was it at the fields? The power surge, it broke my computer.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, momento, por favor. Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there, but we can hear you.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Man, y'all, Mexico broke my computer. See, this how you be knowing when the devil. I'ma be back. I'ma leave and come back.
So while she's doing that, I just want to just interject this and just say that I appreciate y'all for y'all's love and being in this space. We are very excited to continue having these deep level conversations, talking about healing and whatever that you're going through. And we want you to be able to come into this space and to feel like you are a part of this community. So let's see if our audio is back.
Is it bad?
It's not, but we'll make it work.
I don't know what happened, but what I was saying was that church be trying to make us scared, and that's not God. Like,
that's not who God is. Like, God doesn't, like, God is not sitting in heaven waiting to strike us down with lightning bolts. You know what I mean? But that's what we were told, that that's who God is, that God is this fear-based God who is looking for you to do something wrong so that, thank y'all. I don't know if Mexico broke it, we'll fix it, but thank y'all. But we're like trained to believe that God is looking for us to do wrong. God is trying to punish us. Like, God is like in search of turning his wrath, you know, against us. And that is not the God that I serve, one. And that's also not, if we talk about Christianity specifically, that's not who Jesus is. And like, I'd be so confused because when people tell me that they're Christians, because I do identify as a Christian, but it's actually become really hard, especially with what Christianity has turned into, like the evangelical movement. And again, what I'm talking about of using Christianity as a weapon against other people, like it's hard for me to continue to identify as a Christian because it just comes with so much negative connotation. But if we talk about Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, you know, the one that was born in a manger and died on the cross and rose again on the third day, Jesus was not this judgmental, let me shun people, let me harm people. Like, that's not who Jesus was. So I be having to ask people, like, who you serve, white Jesus or black Jesus? Because white Jesus is not what's up at all. And even Kirk Franklin had talked about, I was trying to put the link into the chat so y'all could see what we're talking about. But it's in there. But Kirk Franklin was even talking about how the image of white Jesus was given to us because, again, the whole point of Christianity in America was to make black people and people who were slaves and black and indigenous people to be good slaves. So why would they show them a Jesus that looked like them? Jesus was from the Middle East, very brown. Okay. Very brown. So even that whole concept of white Jesus comes from colonization and trying to control and abuse other people. And I think it's so interesting when we start to think about it in that way. It's like what was given to us, that's not it. Like, this is not it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's wild to me how... You know what's even wilder to me? I was about to say it's wild to me, like, what has been done, but it's not. Because there are whiteness and the disease of whiteness, the construction of whiteness has done so much damage that it's not, like, it's not far-fetched for me to believe it anymore. But the freedom that comes from knowing God for yourself, like being able to talk to God for yourself and hear from God for yourself, that's why the Holy Spirit was left. Right? It's some of y'all in these comments that's pastors and pastors' wives and such. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but ain't that what happened on that good Pentecost? That the Holy Spirit was left behind for us to have the direct connection to God so that we didn't have to go through a man to be our person, to be able to get to God. So it's like, I want us to get out of the habit of blindly believing what somebody says because they're standing in the pulpit. Because everybody that's standing in the pulpit, one, didn't study, and two, don't really know God like you do, like you might. And that's the other thing that I had wanted to say, and I'm gonna be quiet so you can talk. But the other thing I had wanted to say was, I think we also forget that pastors are people. And again, going back to the history of religion and how religion has been used and weaponized, it's like we're taught to believe that pastors have it all together, and they are the example of what this is supposed to look like. When Jesus is the example of what this is supposed to look like, not a person, right? But we have been trained to idolize pastors. So then when pastors do something that is human, then we are like all jacked up because they're being human, which is who they are. And it's why I even said at the beginning of this, it's like, we're not, Bianca and I are not sitting here as experts and talking down to you about, you know, y'all need to do this and y'all need to get this right. We are doing this. We are trying to get this right. We are on this journey together because we don't have it all figured out. And this is a learning journey for us as well. And we are inviting you all to come along with us, right? But if church was described in that way, I'm just telling y'all my understanding from the Bible. You share your understanding. We going to God to make sure we get it checked wherever it needs to get checked. That's a very different kind of conversation than me looking at this person that is standing behind this pulpit to be the ultimate goal of what my life should be like.
Mm-hmm. You know, to that, I really think that there needs to be more oversight with the money that is funneled in to churches, particularly with their nonprofit status, and how money is being spent. Because sure, even in that podcast, they were talking about how church was also associated with action. And so there needs to be a lot more action behind all of these churches, particularly if you were to just look at a map and historically look at how many churches are in certain zip codes that have certain demographics. And then you then take that research and then determine how much of community action is happening with those churches in those certain zip codes. We will determine that it is not equitable. Yeah. We will also determine that we need to follow the money more closely.
Well, the money always tells the story.
You know, and the exploitation that is happening in our church is harming people, where people are coming to church for healing and they're leaving with more scars than when they entered the place.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why there's articles coming out of the decline of people attending church. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that now people are starting to understand that there is a God within you and that you don't need to have to go to a dwelling or a particular place to get that connection. But also, there are some churches that are doing some amazing things that need support.
Yeah.
But also, there are some churches out here that are literally exploiting the community. And how they make their money is when people die.
So, you saw the burial?
Now, you know, 80% of the time when you ask me...
But then when I don't ask you, then you be like, I saw that. And I'm like, so I just assume nothing. This is the thing, y'all. Bianca don't really be like watching stuff. I don't know what she be doing all day. I really don't. But look, I'm trying to make it out like you ain't. Her bum ass. She don't be sitting here watching nothing. You know, like that's the word. But every time I ask Bianca if she has seen something, she's always like, no, but a lot of the things that you talk about are in these movies and in these creations that underscore what you are saying. Did any of y'all see the burial? Go ahead and let us know in the comments. But the reason I brought it up is because The Burial is the movie with Jamie Foxx. It's on Amazon Prime, and it really displayed the predatory nature of burials. And what happens with that, and this is a slight shift away from churches, but I just want the record to reflect. I've said this many times. I'm going to say it once more. I do not want a funeral. I don't want a funeral. I don't want a casket. I want to be turned into a tree and planted somewhere, probably in Colombia. And that's it. That's what I'm okay. Because that industry is just predatory, period. So anyway, I think you would enjoy that movie because it talks about what you were just saying. So it made me think about the burial. But yeah, even outside of like, not necessarily outside, but like the broader understanding of religion. And so I told you I was Lutheran. And this is one of the parts. I don't know if you were following this part, the history lesson, because you were talking about the history lesson. So let me just kind of fill y'all in right quick. So there's Catholic and then there's Protestant, right? So Catholics believe that Mary basically intercedes, if you will, to talk to Jesus, to get Jesus to talk to God, okay? And that's why Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. That's the Hail Mary, right? And that's why they're doing that, because they're trying to get Mary to intercede on our behalf, people's behalf, who are Catholic. Then there are Protestants. So Protestants are anybody who is not Catholic, basically considers themselves a Christian, but not Catholic. So a different denominations. And that came about during the Protestant Reformation. So when I was watching it and Kirk Franklin was talking about Martin Luther, I told you I went to Lutheran school. So I was like, I remember this. I remember the conversations about Martin Luther and how Martin Luther had translated the Bible out of Latin into German so that regular people could read the Bible. Because before that, regular people couldn't read. So that's why they were relying on the clergy people, if you will, to tell them what was in the Bible because they couldn't read it for themselves. So then after the Protestant Reformation, during that time, Martin Luther translated the Bible so that the everyday person could read it. So that even for me was like the level of elitism that was present in having a relationship with God or being able to access God, that it took for somebody to come along and to make this accessible to the everyday person. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Kirk Franklin said that Jesus needs some PR agents. He was like, Jesus, we need some PR agents for Jesus. And I really feel like I'm a PR agent for Jesus. I really do. Like, that resonated with me so deeply because I don't think that people really know Jesus. And even if you're not a Christian, I'm gonna just go big God, big G. I don't think people really know God. I think people know who they were told that God is. But I don't think people really know God for themselves. Because the people really knew God, a lot of the stuff that's happening in churches wouldn't be able to happen because people would be like, boo, tomato, tomato, you're lying. That is not the truth. I'm going to hell because I'm wearing earrings. Boo. Tomato, tomato, the lies. You know, Kev on Stage was one of my most favorite people in the whole wide world. He talks about all the time, like his pastor used to tell him that it was a sin to go to the movie theater. And he found out when he got older that it was because the pastor's son had sex in the movie theater. So then he decided that at his church, that was going to be a sin. We doing too much. We doing too much. Okay. Like it's the most. So at any rate, we want collectively for this here group to get to know God for ourselves through this healing journey, to hear from God for ourselves in this healing journey, because God is always talking to us. I don't know if y'all be listening, but God definitely be talking, okay, all the time. So if we will but listen, we will get those messages and we'll hear. When I was working with my life coaches to certify them, I was telling them, like, tell God how you want God to talk to you. That's why God sends me emails, because I be tripping. And God knows that. God made me, right? So I'm like, listen, I'm going to need some direction, because I'll be out here doing the most, right? Or if you want God to send you numbers, or if you listen to a lot of music, then maybe God is sending you messages through music. Maybe God sends you messages through people, right? So really being intentional about asking God to show you who He is, if you identify God as a he, she, they, for God to show you who God is in a way that you will pay attention to. Because on this journey, we plan on showing you how God is showing up in our lives. And we have shared just a few things today, but there is so much more that is coming out of this. When I tell you the way that God be dropping stuff into our spirit, like for us to come up with this name, then to come up with a logo, then to kind of like all of that stuff happened, I swear, probably within an hour. And it is because we have a direct connection to God. Right. See, Lorna said, I grew up thinking playing Uno and dominoes was a sin. See, this is what I'm talking about. And I don't know what kind of boring God these people serve, but let me tell you something. My God is lit. Okay. My God is lit. We be having a good time. Okay. So we really want to inspire that for you all. Let me hush. You got something you want to add, girl?
I was just thinking about the Uno and the dominoes, and it brought up memories of my Pokemon cards that I no longer have, that I would have had and would have had a lot of money if I still would have kept them because they are valuable, but was told that Pokemon was witchcraft and I couldn't play. And so like growing up being upset with God because I couldn't be what we call a normal kid growing up. Again, mm-hmm. I'm uplifting. I was a preacher's kid. So mm-hmm. the bar was already set high. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, just the day-to-day things that I enjoyed, I could not enjoy them because I would have been punished by God by enjoying it. It just, there's just so much deconstruction that yeah. has to be done and so much healing. And I've been very open and vulnerable and transparent of just my journey and my walk with God. And back to what you were sharing of certifying life coaches, I was one of those going through the process of establishing my relationship with God and determining how God speaks to me and actually dealing with unpacking all of that. Because at one point I just was like, God, I don't hear you. I don't see you. Where are you at? I need you. What is happening? And I'm grateful that I'm in a space where I have that direct communication and be able to tap in the way that I need to. But there are so much hurt that is out there, particularly in these safe spaces that are supposed to be safe spaces, the church with a capital C. And so there needs to be a lot more oversight. And as I am in this journey of being a private investigator, I have made it my mission to do investigative work in some of these spaces that are supposed to be safe spaces, that are collecting money to say that they are a safe space, and they are not being a safe space for all people. Mm-hmm. It is not right, and people need to be held accountable for the harm that they're doing to others.
Yeah, I agree with that. So as we take this journey, y'all, again, we are inviting you along with us. We do have some homework, okay, that we want y'all to do before we come back. And Bianca, you have homework too while you're over there laughing. So one of the segments that we want to do, I didn't call it what this is, but we call it a brain field trip. Brain field trips is basically like when you allow your brain to go down a rabbit hole because you just allow your brain to take you where it's going to go. So what I would like for us to do along these lines of building this deeper relationship with God is watch this movie called The Shack. The Shack, and it's on Amazon Prime. I think it is for rent though. So I think I want to say it's like $3.99 or something like that to rent it, or maybe to buy it, because I said I was going to buy it. But if you're able, watch this movie called The Shack. It is about the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I would be very interested to see. Chanel says, she said the book was so good. Yes. So the movie, again, is on Amazon Prime, the last time I saw it. So watch The Shack. And we want to talk about that next episode, because I'll be really interested, to Bianca, to hear what you think after watching it. It has become one of my most favorite movies. And whenever I feel like I can't hear from God, or I feel like what is happening, I'll go back to it so that I can like remember this is who God is. This is who Jesus is. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Like, it's really anchoring for me. So we want y'all to watch The Shack. And then we are going to bring a show and tell for next show. And our show and tell is going to be vision boards. So did you find the link, Bianca?
I need to sign in to put it in the chat, but that's what I'll do right now.
Okay. So we have a Canva link that is a template where you can do a virtual vision board. Because we're both digital nomads, we try not to carry extra things with us, right? So a virtual vision board is a way to be able to capture our thoughts and stuff. So on the next show, which is going to be on the 24th, we are going to bring our vision boards, and we're going to ask you to put pictures of your vision boards into the chat so that we can also appreciate what your visions are. And the last assignment is to come up with a word for 2024. A word for 2024. So a word for 2024, we're going to give you a link to the vision board that we're going to pin into this. And maybe we could even do a different post too, so that different people will be able to see it. So we'll do that, and then watch the movie, The Shack. Okay. And then when we come back on the 24th, y'all be ready to get these fingers together and talk to us. All right. Cause today was a lot, cause we had to lay some foundations and such. But again, we really want this to be a journey that we're taking together. So that means that we need y'all's participation. So be ready to do that with us next time. Bianca, you want to quickly tell the people where they can find you and your things?
Absolutely. So I just copied the link. I'm actually putting it in the chat right now. Jeez, okay. I'm on it. Okay. You can find me on my website at BiancaGoolsby.com. My first and last name, BiancaGoolsby.com. There you will see links to my digital agency. You'll see a link to Teaching for the Culture. You'll see a link to some of my articles that is published, and find more of my social spaces there too. But you'll find me at BiancaGoolsby.com.
Boom. All right. So I put that into the chat for you. And you all can find me at MindingMyBlackAssBusiness.com. Minding My Black Ass Business on all platforms. Y'all, if you have not subscribed to the channel, Minding My Black Ass Business, please do that. Please like this stream. Please share this if you found anything interesting or illuminating with other people. Again, we will be here every 2 weeks. This is a community that we are building here. We appreciate you all being here at the beginning of this journey. This is going to grow only from here. So you all will have the opportunity to be the inaugural folks who were here with us from the beginnings. I want to remind you of our emojis, because again, we'll talk about this next time. So these are our emojis. And that's the way that you can give us love. That's the way that you can let us know that you're a part of this specific community, Life Unfiltered, because this is only a certain type of people that's up in here. Everybody ain't in here. Okay. So those emojis will help us identify you and let us know that you watched this and that you are supporting us and that you are rocking with us. Again, remember, we are going to be creating a Patreon community for you all to join. So look out for information about that. Have your vision boards ready for next episode. Have your word of the year. And again, please watch The Shack if you are able to. We really appreciate you all so much. Love you, Tapaces.
Yes, indeed. We love you. Bye.
Bye, y'all.